Welcome to another episode of General Nerd Sense, the podcast from Shieldwall Productions, where we talk about anything and everything. Ooh, generally nerdy, hence the name. And on this episode, we have myself, John.
And Jacob.
And dear listeners, we've covered a lot of different things pertaining to tabletop roleplay, you know, proper character building, proper villain building, proper world building, proper story crafting, but we haven't really talked about the concept of combat just as a whole, and when there's a little bit too much going on.
Yeah.
Now, going into this, we're going to set a few parameters here. The main parameter is how much combat is too much combat or overdoing combat in a four-hour tabletop session.
Yeah.
I know some people don't go for quite 4 hours, some people go longer than 4 hours, but just as a frame of measurement and reference, how much combat is too much combat within a span of 4 hours is our frame of reference for what constitutes as too much. So, with that in mind, Jacob, go.
So, a lot of people, I don't know, they present the idea that, like, 50-50 or some ratio. I'd like to just put this out there up front. Whatever your player wants as a GM, and, like, how they roleplay and what they try to do, should be right around what you get.
Right.
Now, that answer is, of course, very hard for even, like, myself to begin to kind of plan around.
Right, because I guess it's important to kind of quantify here before we even delve into this too much, is that it will vary from party to party and group to group and even player to player. This is just our take on it, and again, what constitutes as too much combat or, you know, the level of combat and combat that should be happening is really something that, again, the group, including GM, should be discussing together before dice even start rolling, before the adventure even begins.
Yeah, because a lot of parties, they'll like no combat at all. They'll try sneaking and, you know,
or
diplomacy
be much more,
throughout the entire thing. Or, you know, they'll try to hit everything with a stick.
Right. Again, it kind of depends on, again, really just sitting down as a group and discussing how much combat you want, what kind of combat you want, and all that sort of thing.
Now, I will say, even at the same time, even if I've been in both groups, you know, regardless of if your group wants to take, like, the more peaceful approach generally, or the more combat-focused, too much or too little, and people start getting either bored or agitated.
Right, because, I mean, even if they say they want lots of combat, that'll still take a little bit of fine-tuning to constitute, you know, what is enough combat, what is too much, even for them, or what isn't enough. And, you know, it'll be kind of one of those fine-tuning session-to-session things until they really hammer it down.
Yeah. Now, what I like to go for, and probably, like, another kind of golden rule, is keep the combat quick and fast-paced, but engaging.
Right, that's definitely one of the ways you can go about it. If your players, you know, if you haven't had a chance to talk about this as a group, and your players come to you and say, hey, combat's taking a little too long, you know, or there's too much combat, you know, can we scale it back a little bit?
Yeah.
If combat is kind of part of the point in the campaign that overall that they're at, well, it's going to be hard to kind of scale it back without feeling like there's not a whole lot of progress being made. But if you want to kind of dial back the combat fatigue, yeah, shorter encounters would be the way to go. You know, break up the enemies into smaller groups, because then, you know, smaller, easy to deal with, quickly dealt with groups, so that when your party deals with them, it feels like a sense of progress being made as they kind of chew through these, you know, albeit smaller groups, but it still is a sense of progress because they've completed the encounter and they are victorious.
Yeah.
Now, the nature of kind of combat fatigue or whatever comes from filmmaking. There's a thing, combat fatigue or whatever, battle fatigue, where audiences can really only stay engaged for about 15 to 20 minutes of on-screen action.
Yeah.
Obviously, that doesn't really translate as well over into tabletop, but it's something.
And it also depends, again.
Well,
John Wick.
Again, they break it up into digestible chunks, but the point is when you really hang on the combat encounter sort of things, like, even if it is fast-paced and engaging, the players will still get bored or tune out from it because it's just overwhelming.
Yeah.
There's just too much going on.
It's probably a little bit of an obscure movie reference for you, but Tora, Tora, Tora.
I've seen it.
The entire thing is combat, and a lot of people just find it a little bit boring.
Right, because
it's a bit fatiguing. I liked it. It was a good movie. But regardless, like, you want to keep it in digestible chunks. And I do have to agree with you on that. Because, and I see this a lot, even with the current campaign I'm in or the Guardsman campaign where I'm trying to fine-tune the amount of combat. It it's hard to make it so, like, the combat stays within a set amount of time.
Right.
But it can be done.
Right.
And there are things you can go about doing it. Like, if your party, like, you need combat every now and then.
Sure.
To...
Sometimes it is necessary to progress the plot, and sometimes the party just fails on their diplomacy or stealth checks. It'll just happen.
Now, going back, you could always go with, like, a hit system.
Sure.
It can make for faster-paced combat. You can also just have it, you know, have a rule where if combat takes a certain amount of time, enemies might just disengage, because, I don't know,
they see, like, that their attack is faltering, they're not making as much progress against a smaller force, so they're getting demoralized and they're fleeing.
Yeah, and you see this a lot in real life, where, you know, if an attack doesn't work...
Within a certain amount of time, they'll start pulling back to regroup to, you know...
Try again.
With maybe perhaps a different approach. That's a great... Great way to go about it if, you know, if it's kind of a prolonged combat with lots of enemies. Like, yeah, maybe make them kind of one hits.
Yeah.
Use the hit system so you can, your party can kind of wade through them, but you can have a lot of them. But they still make, but it still gives the players a sense of accomplishment and progression when they, you know, when they're chewing through these enemies. Like, okay, down, like, you know, they're chewing through. But if it's a very large encounter, it's like, okay, they're still going to kind of get worn down a bit just by there being so many. So retreat is an option for your enemies.
Yeah. I guess. As well, it also depends on what kind of feel you're going for the campaign. If you're going for a gritty feel, both can kind of work. You know, you could do a campaign where combat, it does take a decent chunk of time because it feels grueling. Or you could also do, damn, that happened so fucking fast, I don't even know what hit us, and everyone's just kind of...
Right. We'll go back to that first point in a second, but that whole... That happened fast, and where'd our hit points go? That's another way to go about it. Is more lethal but shorter encounters can work as well. You know, kind of upping enemy lethality and scaling back the resilience from the players. So, you know, the enemies are just as dangerous to the players as the players are to the enemy, sort of thing. But have there be fewer enemies and have the encounter go a little bit quicker.
I like to call that the Stalker difficulty.
Yeah.
Because in Stalker, at low levels, you know, things kill you just as fast as you kill them, but at higher levels, you're just as much of a bullet sponge as, you know, they are.
Right, but like, making the enemies more lethal and as lethal as the players, but scaling back their resilience, it'll make the encounter very tense, but it'll make the encounters feel a little less grindy.
Yeah.
While still feeling, of course, very dangerous.
Yeah. So, like, for example, in the Guardsmen campaign, things are just as lethal as, you know, for the Guardsmen as they are for other people. And, I mean, it works for that setting because multiple characters have been pre-rolled.
Right.
Now...
In a setting where that is not necessarily the case, caution.
Yeah.
With how you do it. A way to go about that could also be accomplished by just very careful selection of your enemies. Though if you're using casters and similar or such, that can actually slow things down further if you're not too careful about it.
Yeah, that's another thing. If you want combat to go quicker, you can always do, like, hey... This is kind of like, you know, a chess match where you have a certain amount of set time to do everything in.
Right.
So think about and deliberate what you're doing before your turn comes around, and it's quick.
Right. That'll also depend on, you know, whether or not your group agrees to that sort of thing as a whole, or if you give them a heads up. But even if it's just kind of, if you want to test it out, see how it goes, you know, this isn't, you know, explain to them, this isn't how combat's always going to be. Let's just give it a try to see if that, you know, kind of speeds things up a little bit. And if it does, great. But if it's, you know, take kind of the fun, but makes things stressful, just trying to figure out what your turn is and it's hard for you to focus on the rest of what else's turn, okay, we'll scrap it. It was worth a try.
One thing I've also tried as well, I've tried kind of getting rid of the initiative system. So, and kind of hear me out here. So there's
I was going to say, Jacob,
There is still initiative, but it's a group initiative.
Right.
So if your group ambushes and they're successful, you will go first.
Right.
But then kind of everyone goes roughly like in your team at the same time. You know, you have everything that's happening. Because I like to think of a combat turn is of what happens in 30 seconds. Like, because in combat, you know, you have 30 seconds of whatever you're doing, and then it goes to the next person and what they did in their 30 seconds.
Right. There is that, you know, kind of odd, that very strange time dilation in tabletop role-playing combat where it can take, you know, upwards of an hour to complete a combat encounter that in game time, took maybe 5-10 minutes.
Yeah.
Just due to the nature of tabletop role playing. Okay, your turn, your turn, your turn. But when it all comes together and it's done, it, yeah, sure, it's been an hour in real life time, but in game time, it's much shorter because of that strange time dilation.
So whenever I'm thinking of, like, how combat works, I like to picture that, you know, it's happening in this brief amount of time.
Right.
So one of the things I've tried with, like, the Imperial Guardsmen campaign is one, like, you know, one side will go and then the other one will go. That, it can work. It just feels a little bit wonky.
Right.
Because, you know, everyone's going at the same time.
Right.
What I've also done is I've had player, because I've tested out a lot of things on that party. It's been a great, you know, just testing ground. Tabletop petri dish. Yeah. But one of the things I've tried and I've liked is I have each of the players go and have their initiative, because a lot of times, you know, players, they don't want to all go at the same time, because then it's like, well, I don't feel special for rolling that initiative.
Right.
But I'll have all the enemies go at the same time. So after the players have all done their whatever they've wanted to do, then all the enemies will shoot.
Yep.
And, you know, if there's a large group of enemies, not all of them are going to shoot.
Some of them will be maneuvering, some of them, yeah, they'll be doing other things.
I'll kind of just, you know, eyeball it and, you know, roll a couple dice to see how many go each turn.
Right.
But that also speeds it up a lot, because instead of, you know, one player goes, okay, this enemy decides to do this after that player does this, having all the enemies just respond to what the group is doing,
yeah,
that works pretty well, and I've kind of been sticking by that system so far.
Yeah. I mean, it does kind of boil down to what works best for each group, but that fantastic example. If your group's complaining about too many encounters, that is pretty easily fixed by just avoiding back-to-back encounters.
Yeah.
Traps and other such things exist for a reason in dungeons.
Yeah.
Just gonna throw that out there.
A lot of people forget about traps.
Yeah.
I mean, my players trap themselves usually, so.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really have to throw in traps when people are dying over,
right,
literally nothing.
Now, again, it's important to remember that something that we kind of forgot to go over in the beginning is that, you know, there is no wrong answer to the amount of combat in D&D. It is group dependent.
Yeah.
But it's something that, you know, this is just our take on things, again.
And at the same time, you also got to remember, GMs, that you are a player as well. And I know a lot of you, myself included, if it goes a little bit too long without combat, you start to get a little bit fidgety. You're like, okay.
Yeah.
I've given you, you know, you've bought all these items so many times. Just fight something with them.
Right. And a lot of people kind of try to measure how much combat there should be based on how long the session is. So they're like, oh, it's a 4-hour session. So maybe 1.5 hours of combat. It's like, okay, and perhaps that's one way to go about it. But I think another way, perhaps a bit more organic way to go about it, that would probably see a little bit more tangible results, that you can kind of tweak behind the scenes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is rather than looking at combat proportional to the length of the session, look at combat relative to what's actually going on.
Yeah.
Just, you know, for example, taking a great deal of time to storm a castle or storm a major dungeon, yeah, that's reasonable. That's a kind of a end run sort of thing, or like a major combat sort of thing. But if it's taken 3 hours to kill a small patrol or small nest or something like that, that's definitely an indication that the combat's taking longer than it should.
Yeah.
Treat the symptoms rather than the time that the symptoms take up. That's a pretty good barometer to see whether or not the combat's taking too long, is to measure it by what's actually happening.
Yeah. I mean, just on that as well, like, I try to keep things a bit fresh. So, you know, if I have one session that is mostly combat and the party gets a little bit combat fatigued, the next session I'll go a little bit lighter on combat.
Right.
And I also like doing that. So whether or not I because as a GM, you know, it's a lot of the time when my players sit down for a session, I just kind of go with the flow. I have some pre-planned things. But if my players just kind of want to role play and hang out for a session and do things, I'll throw maybe some small things in there. But like, in terms of the campaign of as a whole, is more where I figure out, okay, this is the amount of like fights that they are probably going to get to do. So I kind of plan more around, you know, I have this overall idea and plan, and however they want to go about, you know, fighting or getting through those, like, trials is right. How I'll let them do it.
Right, and it does all kind of depend on the game that you're playing,
mm-hmm.
you know, be it D&D or Pathfinder or Shadowrun, because, you know, it really does depend on the system, in the context of the system, because if you're playing Shadowrun, there really shouldn't be a whole lot of combat at all. If there is routine combat in your Shadowrun game, something is going horribly wrong every single time, and maybe it's, you know, maybe it's not a you as a GM thing, maybe it's the players need to stop, I don't know, resorting to violence. To pull off their...
Violence isn't the answer, it's the question, and the answer is yes.
Except in Shadowrun, where you're trying to do a heist, a sneaky heist. Just throwing it out there.
Go the payday route of, okay, this drill's been taking forever.
Time to go loud.
Yeah.
Yeah. At that point, though, again, we come back to the players do it to themselves.
Yeah.
But if you're, like, say, D&D, well, I mean... It can go either way, but at the end of the day, D&D is kind of pretty much a combat game, so if you're playing a D&D, like pure D&D, Dungeons and Dragons, and your one of your players is saying there's a little bit too much combat, it's kind of like picking up a first-person shooter game and complaining about all the shooting going on. Like, yeah, there's plot that happens, but, like, that's kind of the point. Like, I understand that Dungeons and Dragons is a role-playing game,
yeah,
but a lot of the rules are combat-focused at the end of the day, and that's not to say that role-playing can't happen, that, absolutely not. It's just, at the end of the day, a lot of the rules are kind of generally geared towards and tailored for combat. Yes, there's role-playing aspects to the rules and that sort of thing, but in terms of GM material to work with, well,
yeah,
a lot of it's combat, so, like, okay.
And, I mean, I let my players know before the campaign, like, hey, you know, especially with the Guardsmen campaign, I let all the players know there's going to be a lot of combat.
Yeah.
They signed up for it. And, yeah, like, sometimes they'll get a little bit fatigued, and, I mean, a lot of times with that, too, if, you know, they get a little bit fatigued, we'll go a little bit length of time between sessions.
Right.
Or, you know, I'll throw them a bone, and there will be a mission that's a little bit less combat-oriented. And,
right.
And that's one of the nice things about doing an overall sort of, like, military campaign with that, is not all the troops in there are always fighting, so I can send, you know, scouts out, and they can do scouting stuff, and it gives me a little bit of...
You're giving them the opportunity, like, you don't want much combat, so here's a non-combat mission. And if you get into combat, you've literally done it to yourselves, because your orders were, don't engage. Yeah.
Now,
if you must, fight and retreat, you know, fire shots over your back, and then pull back, because you're a scouting force, so you're not getting reinforcements.
Exactly. So, still that question remains of, like, it is a very, very fine level between too much or too little.
Right.
Because, and I don't know, maybe it's just me and the parties I've been with, but it's hard to find, like, what level is good and then stick with it.
Yeah.
Because due to the kind of nature of role-playing in general, it's really up in the air. One session, there might have been too much combat, where there could be the same amount of combat in the next session, mm-hmm. and it's just the perfect amount.
Right.
Again, like, going back to what you said, it's kind of what's going on with the story.
Right. Like, it is very much contextual in the overall what's going on in the rest of the story. Like, sometimes a lot of combat's combat is unavoidable. Again, it just kind of depends on, you know, is it that there's too many combat encounters, are the combat encounters taking too long?
Yeah.
That's the first question you should be asking your players. Like, there's too much combat. It's like, okay, does that mean, there's too many encounters, or that the encounters are taking too long? That's the first question you should answer, at which point you can adjust from there.
Yeah, and I mean, at the same time, too, like, as a GM and having my friend's GM as well, you always will see, like, okay, you know, as a GM, you'll be like, okay, I haven't felt there's enough combat, let's throw some wolves at them.
Right.
I find when there's combat that doesn't really tie into the overall story, it just feels stale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wholly agree. Now, it is important to remember that as much as, you know, it's important for the GM to talk to their group and, the groups to talk to their GM, at the end of the day, GMs, you are the GM, so you can listen to your player suggestions and, you know, hear their gripes and all that sort of thing, but at the end of the day, you are the GM and you make the decisions for the story.
Yeah.
And when it's kind of a matter of when is it the entire group that's saying there's too much combat encounter, or there's just one person? If it's one person, you can hear them, whatever, but at that point, it'd probably take a poll for the rest of the group and see if,
yeah,
you know, they're just falling on the sword for the rest of the group, or if it's just kind of a them problem, or a them issue. Not necessarily a problem, but it's just, you know, something that isn't jiving with them. And if something that isn't jiving with them, then, you know, maybe this isn't the adventure for them.
Yeah.
Because if the rest of the party is okay with how much combat there is, or how long the combat encounters are taking, then, you know, maybe the group or the session or the adventure, whatever, is just not a good fit for them. And that's not, you know, as unfortunate, but it's coming to that conclusion isn't a bad thing, because that's just better for everyone overall. It'll help them find a session that they'll like better, and it won't kind of drag down the rest of the party, and also won't keep throwing you headaches between sessions to deal with as you're planning each session out. Like, okay, got this many combat encounters, but, you know, this person said, and it's like, okay, well.
I also find a lot of the time that part of the issue is every player wants the spotlight. So managing that spotlight time can also drastically reduce the amount of, like, strain combat has on the group.
Yeah.
Because, like I said with the initiative, if, you know, one person takes 10 minutes on what they do for their action, the next person takes, like, 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
The person who, you know, is thinking about the combat beforehand and does what he wants to do.
Boom, boom, boom.
But then has to wait, you know, 30 minutes to go through the rest of the players because they're like, well, I could do this, but I could do this. You know.
Right.
That's a lot of the strain as well, because the player's like, okay, you know, I'm into it. I want to do things. I have everything planned out that I want to try to do. And then everyone else in the party is just kind of sitting there, you know, well, I don't really know what I want to do.
Right.
Like, that can also cause a lot of strain, combat strain.
Yeah, because, yes, that is how some people play. And that is kind of a new player symptom.
Yeah.
And that's not to say it's a bad thing. It's just that, you know, they're not on quite the same fast pace, you know, fast encounter level as you know, people who can sort their turn out very quickly. And it's a matter of, okay, you know, do we make adjustments to them, and, you know, do we let them, do we, you know, do keep doing the random initiative, or do we kind of make the adjustment like, hey, this isn't a direct attack at you, it's just that, you know, everyone else can kind of get through their turns quickly, so, you know, we'll have them roll initiative, but, you know, we're gonna have to agree that either you go first or you go last.
Yeah,
it doesn't really matter out of the way, because, you know, then we get their turn out of the way, and then it's everyone else's. That, you know, that seems to kind of counterintuitive to, you know, throwing random initiative out the window, but it gives everyone else the random initiative flavor while kind of also addressing that particular spot, because it's otherwise fun to play with, except for in combat encounters. And it's like, well, I mean, that's not, that alone isn't grounds for booting someone from a group.
No,
not at all. It's just something that you're gonna have to make them aware of.
You have to address it,
right? And it's a teachable moment sort of thing. Where if it's, you know, one or two players take a little bit longer during combat encounters to figure out what they're going to do, that is a moment, especially as a GM, where it is kind of on you to help them improve rather than just booting them from the group. Because then they won't have the chance to improve. So, you know, maybe do it a bit gradually if, you know, if you must go with the timer, you know, kind of put a stopwatch when everyone's their turn to see how long they take on average. And then have that time. Like, okay.
Yeah.
You've got half, you know, if it's, you know, say if they take 5 minutes to decide what they do. Okay, 3.5 minutes is your turn.
And yeah.
See, you know, we'll go from there. And again, that's something that might crop up after the session, after the campaign has started. So, like, if just to make them feel a little less singled out, maybe just apply that to the whole group. And the ones who don't need more than that, who do it quickly, they won't be worse off for it.
Yeah.
But it'll kind of help the people who are a little bit slower on their turns keep the pace from stalling.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't know, from my perspective, because I am one of those players who thinks about everything they're going to do, because when I play tabletop games, I am fully into it.
Right.
I don't check my phone. I don't do other things while
right.
I'm doing it. That is another big issue, is a lot of times, you know, as much as I hate to say it, a lot of players will be on their phones or doing something else.
Yeah.
It's not their turn. And that's a slippery slope just because...
Wait, what's going on? Then you have to take a moment to bring them up to speed.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know if we mentioned this on a podcast or not in terms of, you know, good group etiquette. That might be something in the future, but...
Yeah.
Good group etiquette is put your phone on vibrate, put it in your pocket.
Yeah.
Or put it face down or out of reach, whatever. So, like, if there's an emergency, you can be reached. But otherwise, gamers, stay off your phones during session. Like, you've all agreed to be there at the same time, same place. Give it the full attention that it should have.
Yeah.
Everyone will thank you for it, that sort of thing. Like being on your phone during a session, not great.
No, I mean, it's, I don't know. I've always just found it, if I do it, it's in poor taste because I'm kind of spitting in the face of the other players who are invested.
Right, and it's also kind of a slap in your face to your GM. Like, oh, you know, like this GM has spent a lot of time crafting this session's story for you and crafting the story overall, and you're not giving the attention it should be given, despite you kind of tacitly agreeing to do so.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, like, gamers, your GMs have it hard enough.
Yeah.
Now, going back to combat, I feel like when people say that there's too much combat is that they're worried about character death, and while we've got an entire podcast about why character death isn't a bad thing, now that's something, a hurdle that kind of needs to be gotten over as far as character death. Like, there are times, like, yes, we don't want our characters to die. Sure, I'll give you that one. GMs, it'll happen. And if you haven't discussed about how lethal you want the campaign to be, maybe don't be trying to, you know, have all your encounters be super lethal, because at the end of the day, at least in D&D and Pathfinder, your characters have more than health points to worry about.
Yeah.
You can have enemies in combat encounters work from other angles. Ability drain.
Yeah.
So, you know, less deadly, but it's if they're worried about character death, have them do stat damage. You know, that can be definitely harsh towards the character's daily strength without the kind of being one crit away from death sort of territory. As long as, you know, it's not constitution damage.
Yeah. I noticed that a lot where players are always in our D&D campaign, like, someone almost always dies, and that someone is almost always Manolo.
Right, like, you know, having an enemy that does strength damage could take a lot, could take your fighter for a lot of their worth without killing them.
Yeah.
An intellect devourer would be great, or just have some, you know, kind of minor vermin who give characters some sort of fever that they have to deal with.
Yeah.
In terms of hit, you know, punches to their stats that aren't killing them. You know, sure, there's a difference between ability damage and ability drain. Sure. And ability damage is annoying. Ability drain can definitely result in kind of throttling your players as overall and possibly castrating their main role.
There's also, and this is a system that isn't always used, non-lethal damage.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, if someone's punching you, yeah, you're probably not just going to drop dead, but at the same time, you'll get knocked out.
Right.
So I've used that in certain situations where it's like, okay, this dude had a bulletproof vest on but got shot by 3 slugs in his chest. He's probably not dead, but he's definitely...
He's going to need a moment.
Yeah. So I've done that. Also in systems where they have, like, insanity or corruption.
Right.
That can be fun to manage, too. Because not only do you not want to get it, but once you get it, you got to roleplay a little bit different.
Yeah.
So, you know, having a character go fully insane because he saw something, you know, right. Might want to, or, you know, just took that amount of pain, might, you know, be a different way to go about the whole hit point system.
Absolutely. And, like, again, I feel like a lot of complaints, or... I feel like complaint's too strong a word.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's not that they're not valid. This isn't invalidating complaints, but a lot of times when players say there's too much combat, that it's taking too long, it does kind of stem from fear of character death. So, like, it would be kind of a boring but kind of quick solution to the problem, just give them plot armor. That ain't going to be great. It's not going to make for a particularly compelling story. But, you know, maybe just a...
It depends. I mean, I'm not the GM that puts training wheels on anything.
And ultimately, I feel a lot of GMs are going to be like, yeah, that's a no from me. Plot armor, fuck that.
Yeah. It depends on the story. Depends on the campaign you were doing. Depends on how
I think it even kind of comes down to depends on just the raw circumstances.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of GMs out there aren't actively trying to kill their players.
I mean,
lethality of the adventure notwithstanding, you know, I feel like a lot of GMs, at least good GMs, you know, try to tilt their encounters kind of be more in favor of the players. But at the end of the day, bad luck happens.
I will offer a slightly parallel counterpoint to this.
Mm-hmm.
I've had one GM take a moment in the campaign when a character made that role that he died. He paused everything and had to side with that player. And he asked him, I'll give you one of two choices. You can die, get a new character, and do what, you know, most players do.
How this would naturally proceed.
Naturally proceed. Or if you really want, you can keep your character. We can make up some BS so your character can survive. But it's going to take away a little bit from it.
Right.
And honestly, that's probably the most civil I've ever seen it done. And the player is like, you know what? I'm good with a new character. You know?
Right.
It's annoying. I was just starting to get to like this character. But I don't want to take away from the character by having him survive some BS.
Right. Again, with too much combat, and again, this goes back to character death, I feel like that's probably the best way to go about it. Like, if you're running, you know, if your players aren't expecting their characters to die, but again, bad luck happens, bad rolls happen, that sort of thing. If a character has reached a point where they are dead as shit, D-E-D, you take them aside as an individual. Don't put them on the spot in front of the group.
That's
a good way to make them uncomfortable, you know, kind of feel like the group's pressuring, like, you're dead.
Yeah. And that's what he did.
Talk to them one-on-one. That is a fantastic way to handle it. DMs, you should probably do that.
Yeah.
Because, like, yes, it would kind of, you know, it would kind of get in the way of the overall progression of the session, but that is a very important moment, and that's one that should be kind of discussed with the player one-on-one rather than having them be kind of peer pressured and, you're dead, come on, stay dead. It's just like,
yeah, and I mean,
kind of speak with them as individuals rather than let the rest of the group chime in with their thoughts.
And now I'm not going to take away from that whatsoever, whether or not you choose to stay alive or stay dead. I mean, granted, I'm more of a traditionalist when it comes to the fact of a character dies, I'm going to make a new character. But I can definitely see the appeal, because a lot of times, you know, especially if it's like your second character and then your second character dies right away, it's like, okay, you know, this is just RNGesus being a dick to me right now.
Right. There are times where, like, you can make all the right decisions, you can make all the right choices in terms of how your character reacts to a combat, how they participate in the combat, and your dice will just be trying to kill you.
Yep. It happens with my Imperial Guard every time I play my army.
To anyone. The running joke of my dice are trying to kill me is not a joke.
Yeah.
That it is.
And that's why, you know, you can also not have it necessarily be a character death. I've also seen one GM just been like, you would have been dead as shit, but you lost your arm.
Right.
Now you're getting, and this was Dark Heresy, now you're getting a shitty robot replacement arm that's not great, but you're alive, you're just missing something.
Yeah.
Which can also be kind of cool for a story, because a lot of time, you know, you take a lot of damage, but in depending on the system, if it was, like, on your arm that you took all that damage, you're probably not dead, but you probably don't have an arm.
Yeah. And again, like, there is no, you know, silver bullet answer to, you know, how much combat is too much combat and how to solve overdoing combat. You know, there is no silver bullet to solve that question, you know, solve that problem or answer that question, because ultimately it varies group by group.
Yeah.
Then there are times, and there are people who just will say, you know, when the GMs are asking, you know, how much combat is too much combat or how much combat should there be, they'll say to the GMs, as much as you want, it's your story.
Yeah.
There's merit in that, and there's merit in all the other arguments, but at the end of the day, like, there's no right or wrong answer to this question. Just our thoughts on it. You know, if your group's saying there's too much combat, or, you know, address it, you know, kind of a symptom-by-symptom basis rather than trying to completely overhaul it or completely take it out.
Another point I'd like to offer on... Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's... Don't... At the end of the day, like, as a GM, you are supposed to have fun, and your players are supposed to have fun.
Right.
So, just stick with that. you know,
yeah.
Try to get that barometer as best you can. And at the end of the day, if you do try, your players aren't going to fault you for it.
Right. But I think that's about all we got.
Yeah.
Guys, we want to hear from you on your solutions to the question of how much combat is too much combat, that sort of thing. So we want to hear from you. Head on over to our Facebook page, shieldwallproductions@facebook.com.
Or hit us up on Twitter at the official SWP, whether or not you want to tell me your personal barometer for too much versus too little, or, you know, just want to shoot the shit and talk. I'm more than happy to do that as well.
Indeed. And wherever you're listening to us too, be it iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, wherever, do not forget to subscribe if you're not subscribed already. And until next time, we shall see you later. Toodles!